only born and bred Southern liberal talk host.
It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 12th day of July, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you'd go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between. Hi, I'm Robin. And if you pop in right now, you will be greeted by early arrivers. Anatole and Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is in fact a third stage field navigator, has wisely decided not to fold space into the heart of an exploding star. No, that... Our star is not exploding. I'm exaggerating in that regard. It is, Monday, and it's Moran Monday, and oh, what a herd of Morans we have. And I'm told by Brother Deacon Asa that here, as we attempt to start the program, we are super blippy. I don't think super blippy is something we want to be, but it just happens to be what we kind of are. So hopefully it'll settle down, and we will have a lovely broadcast week. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks to our, 10th, 11th, and 12th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks going out in reverse order. To Paul, thank you, Paul. Thank you to Gary. In New York, thank you very kindly to Paul from Parts Unknown and to John. Thank you as well to Tony and Chico. Thank you to Christopher. Thank you to Judy. Thank you to Daniel. And thank you again to Paul from Parts Unknown. And then thanks as well to Larry. Larry wiped out the remainder of what we had on Friday, so that all we've got to deal with, and a little bit more, so that all we got to deal with now is today's fundraising goal, plus if we can catch up with last week's missed episode, that would be fantastic, because I've just been, you know, running the numbers over the weekend, and we've got to stay something approaching even, because I'm still trying to come up with enough to pay a massive bill that will significantly affect the program. That's the word I'm looking for. Program. So $550 is the fundraising goal. At the very least, we need to raise today's $3. And gosh, please, seriously, please. I had a note to start the program from Kyle from Kentucky Stan. Moran Monday nomination. The U.S. media. U.S. media deserves a Moran nomination because in talking about the protests in Cuba, they failed to mention the sanctions the U.S. has placed on Cuba for the right or wrong reasons as even a factor in the turmoil that's going on in that country. That's not the only reason, but again, the media fails to mention the truth and does a disservice to everyone. And the leader of Cuba did say as much, and that is being reported to a certain extent in American media. It's interesting. Haiti asked for the intervention of the United States military in trying to calm the nation in the wake of the assassination of their president. We took a powder on that one. We can perhaps later, if you'd like, discuss that. And then all we have is a blithe statement that people protesting in Cuba are exercising basic human rights. Well, I know this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but being able to not starve to death is also a basic human right. And the relationship between Cuba and the United States is, and for as long as many of us have been alive, a toxic one. It wasn't particularly good pre-Castro in the mobbed up Batista and pre-Batista days. But it's ugly now, and the protests in Cuba are said to, by some, to have been the most massive protests since the Batista regime. And depending on which outlet one reads, they are driven by hunger, by the inability of the government to address the needs of the people, by crushing economic woes that stem from the inability of, well, their largely tourism-driven economy to have the necessary tourist fuel because of the coronavirus. It's a little unstable in the Caribbean right now. And it remains to be seen how we will respond here. Unfortunately, where Cuba is concerned, and largely this is a matter of both Democrat and Republican presidents, you just have to deal with it. We probably won't get it right because, in large part, of the 750,000 or so petulant, whiny, right-wing Cuban population in primarily South Florida. They make a lot of noise, and they are forever on the radar because, gosh, Florida is electorally important, and so we see, once again, the pernicious effect of the Electoral College on our political life. If it weren't for the Electoral College, you could just treat that as 750,000 cranky, disaffected Americans and campaign accordingly. But they can take Florida, they can deliver Florida's 26, is it, electoral votes? And so consequently, they have to be mollycoddled. Yeah. I'm hoping, Randy Radar says we're just a minor bit blippy. Hopefully we will become less blippy as the program proceeds. Save a space. Giraffe starts off the journal. As you know, I love objects that are high in the sky, but yesterday's coverage of Richard Branson's space flight was frankly really overdone and just took up too much space on the television network's broadcasting. Oh, I was sick of it with the first story. I frankly was not amused as we turned the television off in disgust because of all the coverage. I don't think Branson's flying around in space is going to have any positive impact on the world's dire issues of the day, with climate change being the first and foremost crisis of our time. And Joey notes, I hope everyone had a chance to see CNN's History of Sitcoms. I didn't. Maybe I'll catch a rerun, because it was really excellent, and that brought back many memories. There have been so many sitcoms over the past several decades that I actually forgot some of them. I really liked the ones that covered provocative issues like homosexuality, AIDS, transsexuals, couples cohabiting before marriage. And, of course, there was America's dad, Cliff Huxtable, better known these days as Pill Pusher Bill from The Cosby Show. Gee, none of the sitcoms covered slipping a Mickey into a woman's drink and date rape. Well, what do you know? It's Cosby's 84th birthday today. I hope he strokes out while trying to blow out his birthday candles. You don't want to be around a giraffe when he's surly. Many people won't recognize Joey Notes, the name of Dean Brown, but Dean Brown was a really good football player from Canton, Ohio, who anchored the offensive line for the Canton-McKinley Bulldogs high school team back in the mid-80s, back when The Cosby Show was in its heyday. Dean Brown admitted that he used to love to watch The Cosby Show as a kid. He was a better-than-average student, but a great football player who led his high school team to the state championship in 1985, only to lose to Cincinnati Princeton in the finals that year. However, he wasn't a loser because the Ohio native Lou Holtz was in the crowd that day, and after the game, asked Dean if he would like to come play for Notre Dame. Brown started a tackle in his sophomore year and helped lead Notre Dame to a championship win over Robbins' West Virginia Mountaineers, which was quarterbacked by Tony Rice. Well, Notre Dame was. We weren't. That was that Major Harris? Yes, that was Major Harris. Brown would go on to have a stellar career with the Irish and eventually be drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. I personally knew him well enough that he scored me a press pass for a preseason game back in 1990 at the old RCA Dome. I was living in Kokomo, Indiana at the time, and for what it's worth, the neighborhood I lived in at one time had a paperboy by the name of Ryan White. Yes, the young man who died of AIDS delivered the Indianapolis Star to the home of a couple of years before I rented a room at the place. To this day, I still have pictures of Mighty Dean as a lead blocker for the McKinley Bulldogs, as I was an aspiring photographer way back when in the 1980s. Well, wouldn't you know, Bill Cosby came to speak at the Notre Dame football team in 1990, and many may remember this story. Cosby met with the team and their families after he spoke to a large crowd. For whatever reason, Cosby singled out Dean Brown and inquired of his GPA. Brown said proudly, "I have a 2.5, which for a full-time football player at Notre Dame was not too bad. It's a middling C. Well, depends if it's a 3.0 or a 4.0 scale. Cosby insulted Brown with a ridiculing tone, told Brown that a 2.5 was nothing. Dean Brown's mother was there in the crowd to console her son as he started to cry following the insult. Dean Brown worked very hard to maintain that average, as Notre Dame is not an easy school to matriculate through and maintain a high GPA. He got a lot of criticism, Cosby did, for his remarks to Brown, and Larry King even asked Cosby to apologize to the young man. However, the arrogant moron Bill Cosby said no, he was not going to apologize because Dean apparently didn't deserve an apology. Sadly, Dean would die at the age of 44 from a blood clot in 2012, but I'll never forget the kindness he always displayed toward me. Hey, Dean, I know you're up there in heaven, so when Jeffrey and I arrive at the pearly gates, could you kindly throw a few blocks for us so we can make it through? We'll definitely need a few good blocks and some help getting in that place. You know, it's so ironic, Jeffrey notes, that one of the lectures that Bill Cosby always gave to young men was to pull up their pants. Yes, it really is ironic that while Bill Cosby was telling young men to pull up their pants, he was drugging women trying to pull down theirs. Don't worry, Bill Cosby. You'd need anybody to advocate or block for you when you arrive at your final resting place, because the gates of hell are wide open for you. Well, good job, Jeffrey. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 12th day of July, with Giraffrey headed for Dean Brown's block party. And so there's a $10 block party challenge on the table to get us started, and if that's met, that'll get us down to 5:30 to get all the way caught up. And thank you very kindly to Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Actually, we're down to 5:40, and meeting Jeffrey's challenge will get us down to 5:20. Ciphering, it's complicated. Albert in Rhode Island says, I hope the Cuban Olympic baseball team wins the baseball gold medal in Tokyo this year. They won the only other baseball gold medal game. Plus, they did it with about 50-year-old equipment. They won because their hearts were in it. The Tokyo Olympics. Yeah, now though, there's been so much of an uproar that now the Tokyo Olympics will be played with no crowds in the stands. Oof. Certainly wasn't the case for the European football final yesterday. And as I watched, I mean, I didn't have a dog in the hunt. So, and I confess I get a little frustrated with what we refer to as soccer, what the rest of the world calls football. Because while there's tremendous athleticism, it just seems like, well, you know, the regulation ended at 1-1. And it went to penalty kicks, which seems a shitty way to decide a championship, quite honestly. And it was in those penalty kicks, and believe me, this is a Moran nomination. It so is. It's a terribly stressful thing, probably at least for my generation and generations older. Bill Buckner comes to mind with that slow roller going through his legs in the World Series that cost the Red Sox again. And it's terrible. It leaves a horrible stigma on the player who fails, or the player whose failure leads to defeat. And lo and behold, in the wake of England's loss in penalty overtime to Italy, because in the penalty kick phase, and I'm not very good at soccer analysis. Looks like there's method to the madness, but mostly it's people running around kicking the ball and nothing going in the net. Can be quite thrilling, make no mistake. But it just happened that the players who were put on the England side to take the penalty kicks, they bore the brunt of abuse for England's loss. And so naturally, when Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka all missed on their penalty kicks, it was sort of a reminder of where racism comes from. Racism is a European invention. There's no such thing as race. There are ethnicities, but there is no such thing as race. Race was invented by white colonialist Europeans to justify their abuse of indigenous people all over the planet. I mean, I read somewhere that 90% of the British Crown's wealth is derived from stuff that was stolen from indigenous people the world over. It rang with an air of truth. I did not bother to track it down and try to sort it out. And so the Football Association is doing everything it can to quell an absolute shitstorm of vitriolic, filthy racism. A spokesman for the FA said, "The FA strongly condemns all forms of discrimination and is appalled by the online racism that has been aimed at some of our England players on social media. We could not be clearer that anyone behind such disgusting behavior is not welcome in following the team. We will do all we can to support the players affected while urging the toughest punishments possible for anyone responsible. We will continue to do everything we can to stamp discrimination out of the game, but we implore government to act quickly and bring in the appropriate legislation so this abuse has real-life consequences. Social media companies need to step up and take accountability and action to ban abusers from their platforms, gather evidence that can lead to prosecution, and support making their platforms free from this type of abhorrent abuse." Because naturally, soccer hooligans are a long-time thing. I mean, we think we're badly behaved. One young man, it was sad. I forget which player it was. He went for his kick from the spot, and honest to God, he juked Italy's goalie right out of his shoes. Had him going the exact opposite direction, and then got a little too cute and doinked the ball into the goalpost, where it, after which it bounced harmlessly away. He had the whole net to kick into, but he tried to finesse it, and it, no. And he and the other two players of color for the England side were subjected to horrifying levels of racist abuse. And, of course, this isn't the first time something like that has happened. It sometimes has lethal, a failure on the pitch sometimes has lethal consequences. You may recall the because of the I think he was from Colombia, screwed up somehow, cost the Colombian side the game, and went home and was killed. That was Colombia, wasn't it? Yeah. Awful stuff. And you know, and you know, these are professional athletes, but many of them are young. And youth is certainly not a shield to criticism. But goddamn. I mentioned the story, and Kyle notes, this is a thing with soccer fans, discrimination. A U.S.-Mexico match was also almost canceled in June because of homophobia in the stands. Well, why am I not surprised? It was an exciting match. Yesterday's England versus Italy European Championship. Absolutely, it was exciting. And some people just have to ruin shit. Bojo the Magnificent said, "Team deserves to be lauded as heroes, not racially abused on social media. Those responsible for this appalling abuse should be ashamed of themselves." Yes, shame, shame. And that's about all you can do. Because social media is such a freaking sewer. Ugh. It is. Just a sewer. The Metropolitan Police said, "We are aware of a number of offensive and racist social media comments being directed toward footballers following the Euro 2020 final. This abuse is totally unacceptable. It will not be tolerated, and it will be investigated." The England Twitter account said, "We're disgusted that some of our squad, who have given everything for the shirt this summer, have been subjected to discriminatory abuse online after tonight's game. We stand with our players." Yeah. Good. But, of course, this all comes home to the social media companies, who, by and large, do an absolutely repugnant job of policing this kind of filth. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, went to Twitter to say, "There's absolutely no place for racism in football or anywhere else. Those responsible for the disgusting online abuse we've seen must be held accountable, and social media companies need to act immediately to remove and prevent this hate." It's reminiscent of something that happened. What was the name of the social media platform that they set up so Nitwit Nero could have somewhere to thumb his hate into the universe? What was it? Gutter? Grifter? I don't remember. And they immediately, because morons, "We're going to have a social media platform. Ain't got no rules. Free speech for everybody. Come on in." Because, you know, maggots here in this country, and, you know, other countries as well, but maggots here feel like free speech is defined by being able to say the N-word a lot, or the F word, or, you know, referring to people like me as the drivetrain of an automobile. And so they had no rules. This led to decent people immediately going to the platform, signing up. And absolutely spamming the living bejesus out of that site, grifter, whatever it was, I don't know how creative you have to be to come up with this, but well, bless their hearts, people spammed the site with, and I kid you not, pornographic Sonic the Hedgehog as a means of shutting down the toxic, vitriolic filth in that right, because free speech. And so you get pregnant Sonic the Hedgehog, which is a lot more funny than say Pepe the Frog, to whom the former Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, bore such a stunning resemblance. Darndest thing, that. The platform, says Ron in Raleigh, was called Frank. Frank! No, it seems like, I can't, no, it seems like it was something else. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan, asking some significant questions. Why are we even having the damn Olympics this year? Now, if you want to talk about experiencing heartbreak and choking in big moments, try being a fan of the Cincinnati teams, but enough of that. The crowd there was horrific yesterday, and apparently 1,000 people tried to get in without tickets and even ran over kids to get a good view. Adding, I really don't understand people. I'm as big a sports fan as anyone, but I've never felt the need or the urge to threaten someone or use derogatory language because they had a bad game or cost my team a big game. And I've been known to cry over my team losing. But it's a fucking game. Not life or death. Not one parlor either, Steve. Getter. There. Thank you, Ralphs. It was Getter. I knew it started with a G. Grifter, Getter. G-E-T-T-R, and get her done. Oh. Thank you, Ralphs. That's very helpful, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening. Going back to the racist outburst against the England side's players, Steve notes, what I also found disgusting was had they scored and won the match, and had anyone pointed out that it was three young black men who brought home the championship, these same MFers would have said, why are you bringing race into it? Yeah. Oh, but yeah, they would have been heroes. But the racism would have just stayed below the surface instead of coming bubbling to the top. And there is, in the world of international football, there is so much there. Brother Deacon Asa reminding us, forget the mean tweets. Do you remember how they were tossing bananas onto the field a few years back when they were able to show up in the stands? Yeah, I do. And the thing is, they actually went to the that story just had so much meat on its bones, because that meant that the racists had to go to the store, spend money to buy bananas to then throw onto the field. That's right up there with blowing up your own $750 Yeti cooler full of Tannerite to own the libs, or setting fire to your Colin Kaepernick Nike jerseys or whatever. Jesus. Racism itself is stupid. We all understand that. And that means it's practiced by stupid people. But damn, you got to work at it to be that dumb. Note from Megan. Karen Crazy, for more on Monday, just saw this on Twitter. Blonde Karen in an underwear store tries to go after a black woman, including chasing her around the store and hitting her while having a complete meltdown, screaming and crying and shrieking about the black woman, filming her the entire time. Well, this is going to be delightful, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, God. No.
It's you. Now you are. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you see this? Oh, my God.
Karen attacked the woman with the camera, and she started videoing.
And now she. Did you see her? You saw her, right? They all saw her. Oh, my God. Karen had a breakdown. She tried to hit me. Ask your workers. She tried to hit me. She tried to hit me. Now I want security for you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You should have thought about that before you did what you did. Oh, my God. This don't even feel real. This do not feel real.
You know, we were talking about this last week. Sadly, this is not one of those videos that is fake and, you know, a woman finds out boyfriend knows she's been cheating on it. No, this is real. This is people behaving horribly in public and then dealing with consequences, and she knows she's about to get real famous real fast for all the wrong reasons and meltdown.
Y'all got to get security. She charged me. If I wouldn't have ducked, she would. Oh, no. No, you just wanted security for me, right? I want security for you now. No, don't cry. No. I want you to call security. Thank you. I just came to get my free panty. You know how you get the coupon in the mail? And I got to pick up my Converse boots from Nordstrom. I don't know why this is happening to me. Don't charge me. Oh, you wanna? Oh, yeah, she.
Damn.
Even approach her.
This is pathetic.
You're scaring me. Like you gonna go postal? No, why don't she walk away from me? No, I was here. No. We're not doing this. Why don't I walk away from her? Why don't she get away from me? She could get away. Go wherever you want to go.
And this is all taking place in a Victoria's Secret pink store. As she begins, then she, oh my God. She crawls under a counter and begins shaking her legs and pointing and screaming. I mean, this is like intervention time.
She's recording me! You keep lying saying I'm threatening you, so I'm recording to protect myself.
No!
Oh, my God, there's three. This is part two. There's three parts of this Karen meltdown. Oh, my heavenly days.
Yeah. Crazy lady. Okay, she attacked me and tried to say I attacked her. Look.
Get away from me.
Oh, y'all better get this lady.
She's chasing her through the store now. They're lapping the store.
Yes, can y'all
get her away from me? Get her away.
She wasn't near her.
Get her away from me.
I mean, she's 15 feet away and Karen is still carrying on.
No, I got to just protect myself.
What in the, oh my heavenly days. And it keeps going? What? Was she by herself? Was there no one who could intervene, walk her away? I don't know, a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code? General Ripper? What?
Why don't I walk away from her? Why don't she get away from me? She could get away. Go wherever you want to go. This is crazy.
Oh, my God. There are apparently six parts to this, and she's down on the floor again. Holy crap. I know. Long, hot summer, huh? Yeah, Kyle says, and yet so many people in this country are worried about black people marching and gasp, yelling to not be shot because they keep getting shot. I can't believe how composed the woman taking the video remained the whole time. And that white woman needs mental help, too. She's clearly troubled, Kyle says. The last thing she needs is this video getting into the public, but I understand why it did. I hope she gets help. I'll try to remember after the program. Oh, my God, says Ralphs, please post this to the Horn website. I'll put it on my Twitter feed, and then hopefully the bot or whatever it is on the headon.live website will pick it up. Just, Arthur says, the old I'm white and distraught card. Megan says, I heard there are six parts to this, but I can't find them. Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, get on it. Arthur asked, is she related to Glenn Beck? The voice is similar to Get Off My Phone. Well, the voice is similar to any aggrieved, dainty, delicate, tender, fee-feed Trump voter who gets caught and consequences then transpire. Merciful heaven. Well, it ain't just us, and it ain't just the English. It's all over. And because morons, there is now a kerfuffle over some remarks that Kamala Harris made about rural voters in Texas, and the outrage machine has cranked up to 11. But more than anything else, the weekend and all the CPAC shenanigans in Texas were, well, you know, it was just a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, it's more in Monday, but God, there's only so much of this kind of stuff that can that we can take. The centerpiece of the whole thing was the diatribe that Nitwit Nero delivered. Yeah, Kevin in Massachusetts says, yeah, Karen was hoping a maggot in shining armor would swoop in. Or at least galumph. Sorry. No such luck. But he delivered an absolutely madcap harangue. He is, after all, the harangutan. He used that his CPAC because, you know, who didn't see this coming? He used his CPAC harangue to blather on about how the 2020 election was stolen from him, which it wasn't, of course.
On election night, we did so much better than they ever thought in their wildest imagination that they just said, the hell with it, let it go. What they did. I'm also leading in the polls against Harris. Because not a lot of people think that Joe's going to be running, but you never know. This is a strange world.
And so even over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they fonted his harangue with, "The voting system companies have denied the various allegations made by President Trump and his counsel regarding the 2020 election."
And everyone else who's going to run on the radical left, whether it's on the Democrat side or I love my Republicans, but we're really kicking their ass too. But we love them. But we like it because they're friends of ours, right? So it's okay. I think we can say that affectionately. No, they're great. They're great. And they're working hard. And you saw a lot of them this weekend. But the Democrats want me out, and they want me out as fast as possible. And here I am. I could have a nice, beautiful life. And here I am on a Sunday in Texas.
Hey, y'all, he said Texas. Everybody cheer. Oh, good God. But it was a trip to the madhouse, the whole thing was. And when even Fox News TV says, well, he's lying. That says something. But the problem that it attends this is that it's not going away. He did the crowd size thing again. He did the slurring Joe Biden's family thing again. He slandered Adam Schiff again. He ain't okay. Hasn't been. Jesus. At one point he babbled,
"Everything's brand new and we have a great military, or it's coming soon and won't be able to stop it."
Now, in light of the fact that there are these persistent
myths
that shitbird will be... Remember, the date is August 13th, according to Mr. Myth Pillow. It's coming again. It's coming soon. I guess somebody is telling him that there's going to be some sort of mass mutiny in the ranks. I think letting our guard... And they took down the fencing around the White House. You know, that Nitwit Nero had hastily put up last summer. Because he was terrified of the Black Lives Matter fascist Rosicrucian Illuminati Bilderberg Rothschild Bohemian Grovers. It's coming soon and they won't be able to stop it. There haven't been this many mentions of communism at a meeting since, oh, I don't know, the last CPAC, I guess. Yeah. Nuts. Cray-cray. And the funny thing is, Maggot World ate it up with a spoon. And Louis Asparagus Gohmert was there. It was, after all, Texas, not far from his district. And he repeated again, a bit redundant there, it was Antifa dressed up like maggots. Yeah, they just bought a red hat on the street. No, no. And of course, we talked about this last week. The man from Virginia who deliberately dressed as Antifa, although he was ready to go to war. More harrowing video comes out every day. One of a Capitol Police officer being stripped of his gear by maggots, and they can be overheard telling him, "You're going to die today." But you face more legal consequences if you nonviolently object to a toxic pipeline and take and engage in civil disobedience than any of these 500 plus assholes will probably ever face. And somewhere along the way, we have to correct that crap. Let's see, back to soccer for a minute. Mike in Cascadia says, Marcus Rashford, 23 years old and a soccer prodigy, has played for the Manchester United club since he was 7 years old. He's played for Man U at the Premier League level since the tender age of 17. He's received racist abuse every year he's played in the Premier League. Marcus Rashford is a humanitarian and philanthropist. Probably the best way to quickly summarize everything he does is to check out his Wikipedia that lists all of his various activities. He's a great human being, and he doesn't deserve the abuse due to a game. No. No, he doesn't. I mean, Jesus, this is some of this is reminiscent of the way that Jackie Robinson was treated in, what, the late 1940s, when he broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, and players came in spikes high at him. And I knew as I watched the penalty kickoff, sudden death, the end. I knew when the men of color stepped up to the spot. I knew, and in fact, I kind of grieved because it's like, oh Jesus, if they miss. I mean, knowing what happened, I wonder if the Italians kind of regret winning. Ugh. Yeah, Marcus Rashford. Those accomplishments. Let's see here if I can find him. Food poverty campaign. Universal credit campaign. Literacy campaign. On and on and on. And meanwhile, Richard Branson flew a plane to the edge of space. And it so infuriated Jeff Bezos that he issued a mean tweet saying that Richard Branson really didn't go to the edge of space. He only went 80 kilometers up when it's clearly 100 kilometers to space, damn it. And he was miffed because Richard Branson did it when after Jeff Bezos had announced that he would use his billionaire space capsule to fly to space on July the 20th. And Elon Musk is sitting out in Texas. You know, and the thing is, I love space exploration. I was born to the space age. NASA's exploits were the stuff of my childhood. It was exciting, and it was heartbreaking, too. And it was everything about human ingenuity and determination all rolled into one. But now, and I'll probably get a little shit for this, but that's okay. Now it's just a race between billionaires. Richard Branson's venture was specifically aimed at creating space tourism. Now, how much do you reckon some space tourism is going to cost? Elon Musk really wants to go to Mars. I really want Elon Musk to go to Mars by himself. Because remember, he's got a plan for indentured servitude to pay off your flight to Mars to relocate. Because he thinks humanity's pretty much chowdered up this planet. And so what we need is a dysfunctional libertarian dystopia on the red planet. And the commercialization of space, you know. Well, hell, that's been going on since we've been launching satellites, hasn't it? But it's ramping up and getting worse. I've said before that I'm a big fan of Richard K. Morgan's science fiction trilogy about well, it's about a lot of things. The Takeshi Kovacs trilogy. But it all begins with a backstory of an ancient technology being discovered on Mars. And all the habitable planets are places where, you know, the last thing you want is democracy. And they're sort of autocratic, oligarchic, plutocratic dystopias, no matter how good things are. And then when things go sideways, you know, the authority figures come in and crack some skulls and reestablish order. Well, that's where, you know, that's where people like Elon Musk are headed. And as someone pointed out, our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted it first, and then I reposted it. The proof that we have three billionaires having a fight over getting to space first tells us that the billionaires are not being taxed nearly heavily enough. John says, this shit about Democrats or Antifa dressed as maggots is sort of a failure on the Democratic officials who serve in office not using their profound platform to publicly refute that fucking bullshit. When Jim Shorts Jordan and Louis A. Gohmert made this, Louis Asparagus Gohmert made this claim in a committee hearing, not one Democrat even attempted to debunk this publicly. Well, I understand your point, John. Thing is, just as there is a first rule of holes, when you're in one, stop digging, there's also a first rule of piles of shit. Don't stir it. It smells like shit already. Don't stir it. It's only going to smell more like shit. See what I mean? Courtesy flush, please, says Dave in the Blind. There's so much shit here, Robin. I gently ask for a courtesy flush, and while you're at it, can you get some well-made liberal toilet paper so we can wipe the stain away? Your buddy Dave in the Blind. I understand, Dave. But it's Monday. It's Moran Monday. We know this is how it's going to be. Billionaire boys and their toys. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm all for sending all the billionaires to space. I just don't want them to come back. I know. I suggested we send them all to space and kick them out the airlock and then weld the airlock door shut and come home. That's really mean, isn't it? But honestly, what good are they? This is... I mean, when the profit motive is the central focus, ultimately, I mean, all of these space ventures are hemorrhaging money. But ultimately, the goal is to make money. And as long as the profit motive is there, that means something else is going to have to go begging. the most important things in space exploration, human space exploration, is the safety of the humans. After that comes things like knowledge acquisition. But in a capitalist venture, the first and most important thing is make a buck. And that will have grievous consequences at some point in time. Darlene in Connecticut with a note. If a billionaire has to be the first to shoot himself into space on his private craft, then I'm fine with it. I'm fine it was Richard Branson, that is, who is the less noxious of the triumvirate. As sad as this is to say, we're at the point where billionaires are playing a racing game with one another to do this. Shows just how sick this world's become. As for the other two, it's a toss-up. Part of me is fine with Musk being second, but then I think of what a libertarian jackass he can be. Part of me is fine with Bezos until I think of his dick pic tendencies, but then he owns the Washington Post, which is a halfway decent rag, so I guess I'd go with Bezos. Still grosses me out, though. I don't know. And you know, the mindset of a billionaire, or in the case of Bezos, a about-to-be trillionaire, God damn, just imagine that. Going to be the world's first trillionaire. He probably will wind up being richer than Marcus Licinius Crassus, said to have been quite possibly the richest man in the ancient world. Not even a king, but I thought of that when Darlene used the word triumvirate, which means, you know, three strong men. But how much wealth do you have to suck up from other people in order to become a trillionaire? And isn't it really, isn't it fair to ask the question, does the world need billionaires and trillionaires? I'm trying to think of anything that they do that a competent government couldn't do. Would Jeff Bezos be miserable if he had half the wealth he has and we taxed it because the other part was paid in taxes? Would life cease to have meaning for him? I mean, once again, being a billionaire is no proof that you're a genius. The only proof of genius is genius. He's just a guy who spent a lot of time trying to acquire money. Pretty much by any means necessary. And since it is in circulation, that means it has to be from somebody else. Ugh. I just can't help but think we would be better off without them. But that, of course, presupposes people being willing to engage in government and work toward a better world. All of that shining city on a hill stuff that Republicans talk about but never live. No, they, they talk that game, but then, you know, they'll put things out in the public sphere that let you know where their minds really are. Enter Charlie Kirk from TPUSA, Dave and the Blind having mentioned TP. Yes, they say it's Turning Point USA. I think it's Toilet Paper USA. Back in April, the story's just breaking today, but back in April, they sent out a fundraising letter. Whew, man, this thing, it might as well have had a Klan symbol on it. Story comes from Talking Points Memo. And there's someone there at TPUSA who uses the pen name E.P. Unum, you know, A Pluribus Unum, out of many one. Blacks have become socially incompatible with other races. American black culture has evolved into an unfixable and crime-ridden mess. White people aren't racist, just exhausted with black people. and made a reference of how in the post-Civil War era it became an experiment to see if black people could be taken from the jungles of Africa, enslaved, and then integrated into a white-dominant culture. That experiment. The fundraising letter, remember, this is a fundraising letter from TPUSA, has failed. No, really. I mean, they will. Pay attention. They'll tell you who the hell they are. And they're not shy about it. As Nick Martin at Talking Points Memo put it, the newsletter, which McIntosh says has more than 25,000 subscribers and which he sometimes publishes as often as five times a day, is frequently filled with culture war rants, conspiracy theories, racism, and other types of bigotry. But this email stood out even among the toxic stew. In an interview, McIntosh said neither Turning Point nor its co-founder Charlie Kirk, whom he considers to be a personal friend, has any role in the publication of his newsletter. McIntosh also denied writing the essay, which was published under the fictitious byline E.P. Unum. Pressed on it, well, Rip McIntosh, a guy from Florida, who is an advisor to Toilet Paper USA, he said, it was a nom, E.P. Unum is a nom de plume of a friend who doesn't want his name out there because he's a teacher and doesn't want to be canceled. If that guy's a teacher, that guy needs to be canceled. Or maybe he can teach in some little Southern Baptist church school or something alongside that guy from Loudoun County, Virginia, who wants to abuse children who wants to abuse children, especially trans kids. Ain't going to use them pronouns. Yeah. Oh, dear God, Megan's found parts 4, 5, and 6. The woman throwing the fit that we heard earlier is Abigail Elphick, Megan tells us, from Florham Park, New Jersey. Sorry, New Jersey. We all have our bears to cross. Yeah. Oh, and Earther did confirm. It was my native Colombia. Andres Escobar scored an own goal. And when he went home, they killed him for it. Meanwhile, in Little Havana, looking for Molly to coddle, says Scary Jerry, I was mouthing the word mollycoddle. Post-blunt spelling, sorry. No worries. I spent the entire weekend in Little Havana, the whole effing weekend. I saw Cuban flags streaming behind trucks and actually mused to myself, that's funny. I don't remember Cuba liberating. That's the only time. Then it dawned on me. Protests. It was actually cool as hell, and I knew that Biden would have to say something today because Cubans control Florida electoral college votes, population center. Being in Little Havana was like a diversity glitter bomb going off. I spoke Spanish with a correct accent. Suddenly I wasn't a scary black man. I was probably Dominican or Haitian or Jamaican, respectfully passing through. I was a million miles from MAGA country and just a darker guy passing through and just passing through, which leads me to the horn-in. Now, simply put, they still stringing black people in West Virginia? No. I mean, I've been to West Virginia. I've never felt hate raised before. Rage, hate, bad thoughts. We don't have a large population of color in this state. And there are, I mean, Jesus Christ, when I go pick up the mail at the UPS store, you know, there's a Klan chapter that has their box there too. So, but that's anywhere USA. At least the lovely little community I live in is, highly accepting. So how many people of color is running around your town? Small handful, but it's a small town. Anyways, say the Branson rocket ride yesterday. Scary Jerry notes. After all the billionaire this and billionaire that, I thought it was like monkeys learning how to water ski. No point to it, but cool as shit and probably get you laid. Human evolution, to be continued. That's the first cowbell of the evening for Scary Jerry. Billionaires in space, like teaching monkeys to water ski. Kind of funny, kind of interesting. No real point to it. Yeah, it's a very Moran Monday, isn't it? And meanwhile, Steve in New York points out COVID, ominous shit. The numbers. About 250 deaths are being reported each day, the fewest since March 2020. Case numbers remain near their lowest level since testing became widely available, but they've started to trend slowly upward. The uptick in cases is primarily due to localized outbreaks in places with low vaccination rates. Parts of Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, and Nevada are struggling as the Delta variant spreads. It is now the dominant form of COVID in this country. Most of the country continues to see very low case rates. The outlook is especially positive east of the Mississippi River and on the West Coast. But we are at 606,316 dead. And, well, somebody finally figured out something we've been saying all along. One of those data nerds, as Steve refers to himself, decided to do a correlation analysis. And he looked at heavily maggot states and states with low vaccination rates, and guess what? Just like Todd and I often talk about those Venn diagrams that are a single circle, it's a single circle. Harry Enten, who's a polling analyst for CNN, said, the correlation is incredible. Look at the states right now where the adult population, at least 70%, is vaccinated. Blue. Joe Biden won them. Look at that. It's all blue. Look at all the red on the map. Only 5 Biden states have less than 70% of adults with at least one dose, while all 25 states that Trump won are under the 70% threshold. I just never see correlations like this. It's incredible. Well, I mean, a little late to the game, but good for you. Because it's absolutely true, and we've been talking about this for well over a year. The more maggoty the state, the worse the disease. Because maggots will harm themselves and harm others if they think that that is what their God Emperor wants them to do. Holy crap. And so, among other things, you get the Governor Meemaws of the world, Kay Ivey of Alabama, who, along with Governor McDeath in South Carolina, Governor McDeath doesn't want anybody going door to door telling people to get vaccinated, because that ain't right. Kyle Whitmire at AL.com blistered the hide of Governor Meemaw recently. And it was a really good piece of writing. He said, there's a piece of fortune cookie wisdom passed around the Twitterverse. Maybe you've seen it too. If you don't think politics is important, then remember the mayor in Jaws, is still the mayor in Jaws 2. Whitmire wrote, rattling around loose in my head, that little nugget won't leave me alone lately because Chief Brody is waving his arms like a madman from the beach, but our public officials are acting like it's safe to go back into the water. But instead of a dorky mayor and a goofy blazer, we have Governor Kay Ivey. This week, Alabama's Chief Brody, UAB infectious disease expert Dr. Gene Marazzo, gave a warning about the big fish offshore. New coronavirus vaccinations have slowed close to a standstill. Test positivity is up. Hospitalizations are too. The Delta variant is looking for a fat swimmer, and we're the biggest in the sea, talking about Alabama. But before the tourists could start looking for fins in the water, Ivy assured everyone there's nothing to see here. The sun is hot and the water's cool. Alabama is setting itself up for failure again, and Ivy's helping, but doing nothing. For weeks, Alabama has lagged at its usual spot, next to last in coronavirus vaccinations. But Friday morning this past, the CDC's data showed that Mississippi had slipped ahead of Alabama, if only by a tenth of a percentage point. Alabama had fallen to dead last in vaccinations in the United States of America. Whitmire said, Alabama is open for business, all right. But for that big fish in the water, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Just like the mayor in Jaws, she didn't learn anything the first time. And Confederate governors don't learn anything the first time, or the second, or the third, because learning is inimical to, and at odds with, being a maggot Confederate governor. And so they'll die to own the libs. So let's check in. Oh, by the way, we are 10 minutes past the hour. It would be nice to have Joey and Giraffe's block challenge met. That'll get us down to 520. I can't tell you how desperately we need to raise this money. This is just one of those times that come along, and it's really ugly. And it's existentially dangerous to the program. So, there. And if we can knock this down, it would be... It's not just convenient or less worrisome. It's important. So, Alabama's last. Mississippi's next to last. I don't know where Louisiana stand falls on that continuum. Maybe Jack in Shreveport could tell us. But... let's check in with Oxner Lafayette General. They had a nurse there. Notice the past perfect tense of the verb. Her name was Olivia Guidry. That's a very Louisiana name, Guidry. Well, Olivia Guidry posted back not quite a year ago, this vaccine has been released using recombinant DNA technology faster than any vaccine in the world. It manipulates your DNA at the tiniest molecular level. Do not get it. It's not safe. Am I the only one thinking they're trying to see how much they can control us? We're a straight-up social experiment. Wonder where Olivia Guidry was back in, say, 2014, when a company... that manufactured something called methyl cyclohexane methanol that they sold to the coal industry to use in cleaning coal. I remember at the time when the coal industry said, if it's good enough to clean coal, it's good enough for me. And they dumped a bunch of it into the Elk River here in West Virginia. Now, that's 7 years ago. More than. Probably more like 7.5 now. They people in 9 counties ingested that poisonous shit and are now in a generational involuntary experiment 7 years in to find out just how toxic methyl cyclohexane methanol is. Ah, I bet Olivia Guidry didn't even know about that, did she? That's 7 years ago. They're giving us shots to try to keep us from dying from a virus. We are a straight-up social experiment. Yeah. By the way, there is no recombinant DNA in the vaccines, but you know that. It's mRNA. Well, Olivia Guidry, lovely young woman. Apparently had enough skills to become a nurse, but didn't have enough brains to turn off the right-wing media or not pay attention to her god emperor, who was also out there telling people to stick UV lights up their nether regions and drink bleach and take aquarium cleaner to kill the Rona.
Hydroxychloroquine, they didn't give it to me.
No. Nick Berthelot posted on Facebook recently, "Today is a sad day for my ER family and I. Your contagious laugh," that's probably not the right word to have used, "and smile will truly be missed, Liv. Irony. Until we meet again, sweet girl." Because Olivia Guidry is dead. Dead from the coronavirus. Dead because she didn't get vaccinated. And now the vaccination rate in Louisiana stands at 36%. 14 points lower than the national average of 50%. And once again, the Confederacy is dragging us down, making it more likely that more people will get sick and will die. Yeah. She's gone. And yes, indeed, she had a contagious laugh. When she'd laugh, she spread coronavirus particles and all over creation. Mm-hmm. And what's worst? She's gone. But not before she could do potentially more damage. Both of her parents are sick with the Rona. And she has a sister who's pregnant. Do not take the vaccine! Famous last words, literally. Apparently not. David in South Carolina stands, says the hospital didn't require vaccination for nurses. No, in many places it's... And, you know, they got a lot of freedom down in Louisiana, Stan. So I guess she died to own the libs. Bill in PA pointing out that very thing. How are they owning us if we can see that they're following Trumpty Dumpty? Don't we own them? No, they're owning us. No. And they're owning us all the way into the dirt. Them. In the dirt. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in this desperately needed moment where we've got to get it come up even. And so we're down to five oh five. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very much. I cannot thank you enough. This relatively very small group keeps this program available for everybody who wants it. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. As to the billionaires in space, Ron in Raleigh says, you need to understand, people love the rich and hate the poor. They'll empty their pockets to further enrich the ultra-wealthy. If the poor people are of color, they'll do anything to keep them from advancing. And it's the truth. My God, if you are a... citizen of the state of New Mexico, you, taxpayer, New Mexico taxpayer, built one of these billionaires a spaceport. Because, you know, billionaires don't become billionaires by spending their billions. They become billionaires by getting others to spend their dollars and cents. Yeah, Ron. Know why we're upset at this, Megan says? Because when the space race was going on, it was done at a time when you could support a household on one income with taxes paid to the government, some of which sent to NASA. NASA researched space exploration partly because we wanted to beat the Russians, but for the most part, the entire country was thrilled because it was space exploration to see how far we could go with that research. Now, people have a hard time supporting themselves and being able to afford things like food, medicine, and housing. Taxes are only paid by part of the citizens, while the richest of the rich get complete passes for things like not paying for health care or not even paying their employees a living wage. Now we're expected to applaud them as they race each other into space, ignoring the needs of those on Earth already. Worse, we all suspect this space race only serves the purpose of finding another planet with possible resources that they can further exploit, further padding their own pockets. Did I mention that us plebes are expected to applaud them the whole time, even as we go without? Yeah. This is bullshit. Get back to me when NASA gets the funds they really need to do their job for us. Yeah, there's something about the billionaires in space that really crawled all over people. Space and all that, says Robert in Australia. For 96% of the world, space legally begins at 100 kilometers up, the Kármán line. 100 kilometers up is the point at which the atmosphere has been proven to be too thin to support aeronautical flight, named after physicist Theodore von Kármán, who demonstrated this. In the U.S., it begins at 50 miles up or 80 kilometers up for different legal reasons, weapons treaties. As for Branson's flight being new or innovative, between July 1962 and August 1968, 13 X-15 flights went above 50 miles, qualifying the eight pilots as astronauts. Alan Shepard, America's first astronaut, suborbital hop on May 5, 1961, took him to an altitude of 187.4 kilometers, 116 miles. Signed, Robert, in Oz. Now in serious isolation, thanks to the Delta variant. Yeah, I know. I've got this sense of the other shoe about to drop. I'm running out of other shoes. But this thing is going to burn through the Confederacy and the other they're not vaccine hesitant. They're vaccine antagonistic. And it's awful. They're vaccine hateful. Just bad. Just bad. And, of course, that'll mean that and it's down the road that where the real horror comes in. And you wonder if because the maggots will go absolutely batshit crazy if we have to shut down again. It's not being received particularly well in the places where they've had to do it. It's almost like this thing is exploiting not just respiratory issues or whatever else it exploits. It's also exploiting I'm hard-pressed to describe this. Is there a genetically encoded death wish? Where people just go, oh, fuck it, we're going to die. Just get it over with. I don't know. I'm glad we got our vaccines. But I'm worried to death about the people who don't. And when it gets a really good ass-kicking foothold in the Confederacy, in places like Talabama, well, that means the Delta variant will get to evolve some more. And have you noticed that we use the word mutate instead of evolve? Maybe there's a scientific reason for it. Or maybe people, I don't know. I wonder, no, you know what? In these news stories, we need to say mutate, because then it'll scare people because they'll think it's like zombies and stuff. And they watch a lot of zombie stuff. Maybe that'll get through to them. Or maybe it's the other way around. If we say evolve, they're going to get all mad in the Baptist churches and say there ain't no evolution, and even less people will get vaccinated. All I know is it's terrifying. And there's a whole aspect of, and the condemned ate heartily about all of this. And I don't know what we do about it. Can't hold them down and vaccinate them, I guess. Son of a gun. Thank you, Roberto. Roberto's gotten us down to 480. Thank you so much. And Jeremy's gotten us down to 470. It's tremendously important. that we get where we're going, and maybe things will, you know, hopefully things will settle down a little bit. Where can I donate my conscience? Asks Steve in New York. I know I say I don't care about the anti-vaxxers. I know I say I don't care if they die, but you know what? When it comes down to it, I just can't. I just can't care for my fellow countrymen and women. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do, Robin. I want people to go for the vaccine, but what the hell? I just saw that Madison, Mr. Rapey Roofy Cawthorn, what he said at KKK PAC, that the Biden administration wanting to go door-to-door to encourage people to get their shots was about confiscating their babbles and freedom protectors. Yeah, I saw that too. It's a level of it's a breathtaking degree of stupiditas. This is one of those where you, it's just a brief clip. It's too much for. I mean, it's hockey puck material, but yeah, this is Madison Cawthorn. And God, he's gross. And I have to presume he really, really believes shit like this that he babbles.
And now they're starting to talk about going door to door to be able to take vaccines to the people. Think about the mechanisms they would have to build to be able to actually execute that massive of a thing. And then think about what those mechanisms could be used for. They could then go door to door, take your guns. They again go door to door, take your Bibles. Yeah. And so it's serious. And
I know the volume was low. It was recorded low. I had it cranked, but yeah, I mean, what a mechanism. Really? I mean, well, this kid's a little POS anyway. But they have to say these things because that's how they keep their voting base out from behind the baseboards. And keep them engaged in the process. They're coming for your guns and your Bibles? Jesus, I'm so old, I can remember the mailer that the Republican Party sent out in West Virginia and Arkansas only in 2000. Al Gore's coming for your guns and your Bibles. And the graphic on it, I think, had a dagger through a Bible. It occurs to me, Stephen, New York says, I can count on zero fingers the number of times Madison Cawthorn has actually read the Bible. I'm pretty sure you're right. Certainly wouldn't bet against you on that. As I've said a million times before, they don't read it, they bang it. And do you think, asked Ron and Raleigh, if we ever get Medicare for all, that the billionaires won't be signing up for the program? Do you think if we ever get Medicare for all, that the billionaires won't be signing up for the program? Fuck these parasites. Sure they will. I mean, Jesus. All you got to do is look to one of their heroes, Ayn Rand. Signed right up. Because conservatives love them some free shit. They'll howl against it, but then they'll take it. You know, just like Joe Biden zinging Moscow Mitch. They're saying, well, I voted against it, but there's going to be $7 billion coming to Kentucky Stand that we damn sure didn't pay in. And I just advise y'all to use it wisely. In other words, like I said, don't help people who need help with it. Yeah. Wait, okay, what? Genetically encoded death wish? Megan says, no, according to Rob Schneider on Twitter, this is all a government conspiracy to deprive citizens of their jobs, housing, and freedom to move around, and this is why he urges his some 800,000 followers to not get the vaccine. Yeah, I don't get it either, says Megan. And I wonder how many people listen to him. And I wonder how many people will die. You know, what do you do? when the whole household is vaccinated, but you've got one who's still too young? How terrifying would that be? Truly horrifying, I'm guessing. Maybe I'm not guessing. And it did not help the news that came out today about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. FDA will attach a warning to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, warning of the possibility of Guillain-Barré syndrome. And, of course, over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and Newsmuck, they will be hopping up and down and squealing and screaming and hooting and grunting and flinging poo through the monkey house doors about how they noted all the time. Get the idea that Johnson & Johnson vaccine is probably on the way out the door. The warning will state that the J&J vaccine can lead to an increased risk of a rare neurological disorder known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. The chances of developing it are extremely low, generally, but they're 3 to 5 times higher among people who've gotten the J&J vaccine. Now, through monitoring, they're monitoring us, right? There have been about 100 suspected cases of Guillain-Barré, and most of the people who get the condition recover. It's that most part. But the people who make horse-gagging loads of money by terrifying people of limited critical thinking skills, well, this will be a trip to the bank. The FDA, to be clear, says that the vaccine is effective at keeping the disease from becoming severe or dying, and that those benefits far outweigh any risk. But Dr. Luciana Borio, a former acting chief scientist at the FDA under Barack Obama, said, "It's not surprising to find these types of adverse events associated with vaccination. The benefits continue to vastly outweigh the risks. As far as the risk is concerned, it primarily has been reported about 2 weeks after the vaccination and happens mostly in people with XY chromosome pairs who are 50 or older." And the symptoms of Guillain-Barré develop about 3 weeks after vaccination. And about 13 million people in the U.S. have received the J&J vaccine. And all but about 100 of them to no ill effect. So, please note when if you see some breathless piece on social media or wherever, understand that while the risk is there, it is low. Guillain-Barré has to do with the immune system. And the immune system attacks nerve cells, and you get muscle weakness, occasionally paralysis. It affects about 10 out of every 1 million Americans every year. most of whom did not have the vaccine. It wasn't brought on by the vaccine. It's possible that I mean, if the FDA is introducing a warning, you would think they've gotten past the anecdotal stage, but it does. I don't know. For instance, Guillain-Barré rates were slightly affected by the swine flu vaccine in 1976. But science still isn't certain about that, because it could have been the flu itself that led to it. Oh, and remember Frank? Remember that? The shingles vaccine ad? Yeah? Well, the FDA had issued a warning that the shingles vaccine, Shingrix, increased risk of Guillain-Barré. And that's expressly given to people over 50. I know our dear friend John Briteveau has gone through a nasty bout of shingles, may still be dealing with it on top of everything else he's dealing with. And I wonder which is worse. That or the shingles? Which is worse? The frying pan or the fire? Which is worse? The devil or the deep blue sea? Wait a minute, says Ron in Raleigh. I was a census enumerator in 2010. It seems we can hire a bunch of people to go door-to-door to count everyone. What is the Nazi-loving jackass talking about? Well, it's not just him. All these things spread like measles through an unvaccinated population, which is an apt analogy for the right wing and the maggots. Because having a stranger come to your door and knock on the door is... Well, it's the government, and they done come here. They're going to take our guns and our babbles. And of course, it's worth remembering that the census takers, they can be pretty dangerous depending on where you are in this country. I recall back in the early part of the century that one was murdered in Kentucky. You're not guessing. Jeremy in Vermont points out, my whole direct family is fully vaccinated except my youngest niece, who lives with my parents, both 70 plus. It's terrifying. Yeah. Delta is running loose, Robert in Australia says. It's been cold and overcast and dark here in Sydney these last few weeks, because it's winter up over down under. But in more ways than just the weather, Delta is running loose. The lockdown order that should have ended last Friday has now been extended. So here in Sydney, you must stay home. Only leave your home if you have a reasonable excuse. If you must leave home, stay within your local area. Do not travel outside your local area if you can avoid it. Shops that aren't shut require you to sign in when you arrive, and many to sign out when you leave. Masks are required everywhere. And thanks to the federal government, the rollout of the vaccine has been so slow that only 9% of the population is fully vaccinated, which is the main reason we're in this mess. And it doesn't help that we have stupid people wandering around, not social distancing or wearing masks because they're special. Robert, signed Robert, in Oz, in isolation, for a few years yet. God. So is that, you said here in Sydney, Robert, is that New South Wales only, or does it extend to Victoria? And is it the whole continent, or is it just individual states? Jesus. Yeah, and it's a government problem. And curiously, the Australian government is run by conservative people who use the chapels in Government House for a rape room. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Arthur, for jumping in. We are down to 470. And thank you, Mary Bell. We're down to 420. How about that? 420. Isn't that curious when that happens? Thank you. We're making decided progress. If we can keep it going and people will come in and stand alongside folks like Jeremy and Mary Bell and Arthur and Ralphs, it will be oh so helpful. Very much so. And what's that, David in South Carolina, Stan? Dan Rather tweeting, if you're railing against the vaccine from a media pulpit and have yourself been vaccinated, you're the worst kind of hypocrite, one who is indifferent to the fact that those who have the misfortune of listening to you are putting their lives and others at risk. Because the people at Fox, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, probably the people at Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, people at Newsmuck, are likely fully vaccinated. As well, of course, as the goddamn disgusting, filthy Trump family. Back to KKK pack for a minute. Jeremy reminds us, hey, how about the fake outrage that Caitlyn Jenner was tossed from the pack and not allowed to speak? They have one speed in that group, 80 miles an hour. Thanks, Trey Crowder. Yeah, that was a great line. Yeah, I know, Arthur. 420? Dude. Here. Mm-hmm. I am going to ask, I have a doctor's appointment this week. And I'm going to ask my physician about what I have to do to maybe get a card or a form or a license or whatever it is. Just to deal with this endless freaking pain in my neck. Oof, it's brutal. Yeah, dude. I know. Yeah, what's that, Professor Spicoli?
I'm so wasted!
No, not really. Mm-mm. And so we are well past the halfway point of the program this evening. If you would like to participate in conversation, you're mighty welcome so to do. Jesus. The All-Star Game is coming up. Baseball's All-Star Game. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday when I was watching the European Finals. And I know Flavio loathes those penalty kickoffs. Because it just seems such an awful way to win a championship. Baseball, you know, you play till there's a winner. Extra innings, you play till you play till somebody scores. I mean, if you run out of pitchers, and you have to bring in the left-handed the left fielder to lob them at the well, that's just a risk that you take, strategy. But you play till there's a winner. Now, some extra innings games have gone so long that people had to go home and set it all up and come back the next day. Seems the right way to go about it. Kind of the John Henry approach, I guess. Well, the Republicans, well, and particularly Republican Senate, the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, the All-Star Game is tomorrow, the Home Run Derby is today, and they're going to air ads during the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, in which they're going to criticize the radical left woke crowd of costing Georgia $100 million in lost revenue because, well, they, Major League Baseball, pulled the All-Star Game from Hotlanta when the Georgia Republicans decided that they had had just about enough of all of those black folks voting the wrong damn way. Senator Warnock's voice cost Georgia $100 million. Play ball. Donate to the National Republican Senatorial Campaign today. Senator Rick Scott, Senator Skeletor, the guy who was involved in the biggest case of Medicare fraud in the history of the United States and somehow walked away from it. Well, he chairs the NRSC. And, he said, sadly, it was Georgia. The All-Star Game's going to be bittersweet for Georgia. It was their very own senator who helped run the All-Star Game and $100 million out of Atlanta. Raphael Warnock refused to condemn this boycott that hurt Georgia families. The NRSC is proud to remind voters in Georgia of the urgent need to replace Senator Warnock next November. Bub, I got a feeling you don't want to be in a debate with Senator Reverend Warnock. Because Rick Scott, he occupies the high ground and you live in a damn swamp. And as you can see, as we've noted on this program so many times before, they don't take days off, the maggots and the Republicans. They go at it hammer and tongs 24/7, 365, year in and year out. And you know, the fact that they can stand there with a straight face and claim that Jesus, and claim that stopping black people from voting is somehow the right thing to do. People of color, moreover. Well, it tells you all you need to know about the racist rump party. The racist Trump party? Ah! As if there were any questions remaining. And we have crossed under the $400 mark. Brian just got us down to $395. And Don just got us down to $345. So important. Thank you so much. So important. And hopefully we'll keep moving and get a couple of these bills paid and make sure everything's okay. Good news in South Carolina, Stan, and that's kind of wild. Joe Cunningham, David in South Carolina, Stan says, plans to legalize marijuana in South Carolina if elected governor. Wonder how that'll go with the Baptists. Because, yeah. Now, let's see. He's standing behind a sign that says, End the Prohibition.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for coming today. You know, missing in politics today is honesty. Honesty about what works, but also what doesn't work. In our country, has been fighting the war against marijuana for decades. And it's time for elected officials to admit that what we are doing has not been working. Although there are career politicians who would rather live in the past, I prefer that we, as South Carolinians, look to the future. That is why I'm running for governor, to bring South Carolina out of the past and into the future. Our marijuana laws are stuck in the past. They aren't practical, and they hurt more people than they help. They're based on myths, prejudice, and fear. So I believe it's time to end the prohibition on marijuana in South Carolina. It's time to start regulating and taxing it. You see, for too many years, we've been burdened with the high cost of pursuing and incarcerating individuals for possession of marijuana and low-level drug arrest. Today, our state's murder rate has never been higher, and therefore, our law enforcement resources have never been more valuable. By legalizing and regulating marijuana, our law enforcement can focus on the violent crimes, and they can more effectively target dangerous criminals and get them off the street and keep them off the street. But refocusing our law enforcement resources is just one effect this policy will have. Another impact will be on our incredible veterans and any other person who's needlessly suffering through a chronic illness. While serving on the Veterans Affairs Committee in Congress, I heard firsthand from our nation's heroes. Nathan, an Army veteran in Dorchester County, who served our country in Iraq, where he sustained a roadside bomb injury. You know, he told me that every night he relives that tragedy, and the only thing that can help him sleep at night is marijuana. There's also the story of a former Marine who was given a prescription for opioids for an injury, and then he refused to fill it because he was afraid that he would, just like thousands of others, fall into that cycle of addiction. Told me that what he wanted was the same thing that was legal in dozens of other states. It's truly shameful that we asked these heroes to defend our freedoms abroad, promising them that we'll take care of them when they return, and then deny them that basic remedy that would help alleviate the pain that was incurred through their heroic acts. Or that our friends and family members who may be suffering through cancer or other chronic illness are denied the use of marijuana, which is proven to be a safer and more effective means of pain management. This is about compassion. And when it comes to our veterans, this is about taking care of those who've taken care of us. It's about taking care of our family, our friends, our neighbors, so that they don't suffer needlessly. Our marijuana laws continue to have a disproportionate impact on communities of color. A person of color is nearly four times more likely to be arrested for marijuana than someone who's white, even though they use marijuana at the same rate.
It's all solid. Now, does he have a chance, David? Any kind of a chance? I hope he does. And what is that? Is that 2022? God. Of course, I wonder how the Rona and whatever position he has relative to vaccination will do. It's just so frustrating. And like I said, it's just one, it's one madcap clip after another coming out from KKK PAC. This is their vaccine discussion. Yeah. Awesome.
They were hoping, the government was hoping, that they could sort of sucker 90% of the population into getting vaccinated. And it isn't happening, right? There's a... Younger people are well aware of what the risks really are, and they're well aware of the side effect profile of the vaccine.
Yep. Oh, they're well aware. You know, but once you're dead, it's hard to be well aware. The guy you heard speaking was Alex Berenson, labeled by the Atlantic magazine as the pandemic's wrongest man. So the whole thing was nothing short of a dog's breakfast of paranoia, conspiracy theories, racism, and as Jeremy pointed out a little bit ago, the Caitlyn Jenner foo-fraw. Oh, for God's sakes. Caitlyn Jenner showed up at KKK PAC and got run. Oh, thank you to dear Jude in the Great Northwest. We're down to 335. Thank you, Jude. Yeah, and there was video. I saw it. It was some asshole. Come on. Pointing a camera at Caitlyn Jenner and saying, "Hey, Bruce, how you doing, Bruce? Good to see you, Bruce. Glad you're here, Bruce." It was practically the Australian philosopher skit from Monty Python. "G'day, Bruce. How are you, Bruce?" "Doing good, Bruce. You, Bruce?" "Not at all bad, Bruce." You know, dead naming Caitlyn Jenner. Jesus. And I get really mixed feelings with stories about her. Because I know how much that shit hurts. And I know how much things like pronouns matter. And by the way, I continue to be sorry about my voice. Because it proves very confusing for people. Because I still sound like me, guy. I assure you I'm not. The changes are becoming more profound every day. But they matter. But at the same time, this is the same Caitlyn Jenner who does the same sort of things that the asshole calling her Bruce, she does. She's going to, you know, she becomes governor of California. Don't. I know. Snowball's chance. Right. But, you know, she'll find out who the real trans girls are. How, Caitlyn? Do you reckon she was surprised at the reception that she got? Did she do any good for the community by showing up and validating them? My initial impression is no, she didn't. But I'm not quite nasty enough to say that she deserves everything she gets. Because to get all Clint Eastwood for a minute, in that setting, deserving's got nothing to do with it. She's on their side. She's on their team. And they ran her from their midst. Because she can't pass the ideological purity test. Yeah? Right. Good God. Some tiny molecule in me felt bad for her. And it made me ask, what the hell's wrong with me? But I know I've got 10 months worth of experience on this road. It will be 10 months in 3 days. It'll be 10 months without a cigarette, and it'll be 10 months of this journey. And journey is kind of an overworked term, but it's so hard to describe. And the hate out there is palpable. I mean, I don't experience it around here, but all I have to do is start wandering around the internet, and it's all over the place. There's a concerted attack over on Reddit right now. I'm not big on it. But trans spaces are under attack by bigots and trolls and haters and TERFs. Because they're trying to drive trans people from the little spaces that they have there where people can discuss the journey. And it's ugly. And I know how all those fuckers vote, or most of them. I mean, there are way too many on our side who are, oddly enough, aligned with them. Maybe one of these days we'll get around to talking about the kerfuffle of a couple of weeks ago in Koreatown in L.A. That was sickening, and it was one of the most pathetic dodges I've seen in a long time. It was you know, It looked like it was from the James O'Keefe school of rat fuck phony journalism. An entirely stage managed event. And then by Saturday before last, or thereabouts, lo and behold, there were competing protests outside the spa in Koreatown where it happened. And some turfs got their asses kicked. And then, they called the Whambulance, and the great big crocodile right-wing tears began to flow. 325. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. 325. Progress. So important. What? You asshole, said with love. Stop fucking apologizing. This ain't an overnight process. The family here knows. The family here understands. You're a chick with a deep voice. You're in good company with a million women with deep voices, not the least of which was Ema Sumac. Bet you haven't heard her name in a while. Chill out before I get pissy on your ass. Don't do that. Thank you. Thank you. That's positive reinforcement in a really lovingly harsh way. Ron and Raleigh, why? Why was Caitlin prancing around barefoot at CPAC? It's not so much the, it's not the prancing, it's not the bare. Why was she there? Can she not learn? Is that beyond her? Megan says, Caitlyn Jenner, I don't agree with how she was treated either, but can someone tell me why she thought she'd be welcome there? They make their hatred for trans folks so plain. Exactly what did she think she was going to happen? Seriously, did she not see how bad it was? Yeah, but see, she's involved. She's involved in this grift of her gubernatorial campaign, and she felt like she had to be there. Ugh. I mean, that's really some 23rd Psalm territory, you know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Maybe she wanted, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Maybe it raised her profile. Maybe she thinks people who aren't Republicans will be enough to put her over the top if there are, of the voters in California, if 50.00001% of them are stupid enough to say that Gavin Newsom should be recalled. And then it's anybody's game. I don't know, Megan. Ron says, don't waste your tears. Caitlyn Jenner is a person doing bad things. People doing bad things need to be vilified. It doesn't matter if they're cis, trans, or others. Fuck her. I don't give a rip for Caitlyn Jenner's feelings. Yeah, me neither. But everybody that gets it done to them makes it easier to do it to the next person who damned well doesn't deserve it. So there's that. Thank you, Sharon. We're down to 315. We are $15 from getting into actually being fully funded up to the end of the program, and that's tremendous. Thank you, Sharon. 315. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And as to South Carolina, Jeremy in Vermont notes, but the poors in South Carolina will never leave their homes now and get off their goddamned Obama phones if they legalize the marijuanas. Oh, yeah, they'll get out of their homes. They'll be sitting there in the parks and on the benches along the streets, and they'll be shooting up their marijuanas. Can't you already just hear the sermons being preached down at the First Baptist Church and Herpetological Sanctuary? You know, because high people don't spend a lot of time going to... No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, Steve. In a tough, lovingly LGBTQ family kind of way. Indeed, indeed. Hey, could that be Could that be Tracy?
Yeah, it is me calling from yellow cab number 6113.
Now, is that a joke?
No.
You're driving?
Tracy, I am working. Well,
now, girl, that's
I'm
awesome.
I'm not actually working. I'm on my way home. But yeah, today was my first day back. Driving a cab since the last time I worked was March 12th, 2020.
Wow. So yeah. are you running the airport route or?
Well, actually, here's the thing. I actually did go to the airport to make, because there's we have a card reader that's in the cab, and so I actually dropped my school run drops off in L.A. So I stopped by LAX to check everything out to make sure stuff is working. Like, I had to make sure my Square was working so I could take credit cards and all this stuff. And so when it gets busy, because it's been incredibly busy for cabs, because I guess Uber and Lyft have lost their minds with the money. And so all of a sudden the cab business is picking up again. So we have every 5 days is our airport day. So my airport day this week is on Wednesday, and then next time Monday. But they have what they call pink days. It's when the airport gets so busy that they call pink. So today is my pink day, and it actually went pink. So I was like, okay, I'm here. And so we got everything working, but come to find out, when I got my cab inspected by DOT a couple of weeks back, they didn't send the paper to the airport. So I'm as far as they're concerned, my cab is on hold, which is fine, actually, because I really didn't feel like working at the airport today, on top of the fact that Jan's sister just got into town. And, I mean, you know, I have to, it's not like I don't want to meet her, but it's like, yeah, whatever.
I get that.
Oh, I'm in wonderful, well, it's not moving. You know, if you're on a 405 and you're going over 20 miles an hour, you're doing good.
You're flying.
It's like my car drank a Red Bull, you know, I got wings. So it's been, you know, yeah, it's just weird. So today was my first day doing a school run. Very easy school run. It's just two kids and an aide. And I go home in between and do homework and then come back out at what the pickup is. I got to pick them up from school at 1 o'clock. Now, I had to leave my house. This morning I was kind of, you know, slow in the giddy up. I had planned on leaving at like 6:15, but that didn't happen. No, I had planned on leaving at 6, but I didn't really get moving until like 6:15, which is still fine because I was still ahead of the traffic. No, I still hit traffic, but I was still early enough for my first pickup that I got to stop at Randy's Donuts.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I got to stop doing that, though, because that's the only problem. My pickup is I get out the freeway every day at Randy's Donuts.
Nice.
Every day. You know, nice for my taste buds, but not so much for my hips.
No,
how are you doing?
It's a mixed bag, isn't it? Little heaven, little hell.
It's a mixed bag. Say again, baby.
I said it's a little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell.
Just a little bit. So have you made the announcement about anything happening next year or anything like that?
Well, I've made an announcement. I keep meaning to sit down and write the post, and for some reason, every time I sit down to write the post, something happens.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's on, and we need to get it going pretty quick because this place is going to book up like you can't believe. It already is. The whole damn town's sold out right now.
Wow. And what are the dates?
It'll be the first weekend in June, the Horn Inn. And that works. That works out to. Let me go into 2022. That works out to the second, third, fourth, and fifth of June.
Okay, because so more. You know, more than likely, Jan and I are coming. But
I sure hope so.
I have to, because I know it's a hell of a gap, distance between your part of the world, Washington, D.C., but that's going to have to be my selling point to get out to you. I've kind of been playing around with...
You mean the fact that we've got little gambling dens all over the place won't sell?
Well, I didn't really go for mention that, so that might do it, too. That might, you know... I mean, I can always come by myself. I'm a grown-ass woman, so I don't need permission to go anywhere.
Yeah, but Jan needs to see these hills, too. They're so beautiful.
Yes, 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 most definitely.
She needs to try my barbecue.
That part too. So, I just needed the date so I can, because actually, selfishly, I mean, because I still have I still have frequent flyer miles, so feasibly I could fly. Oh. So, where would I fly into? You guys have airports in West Virginia?
We've been through this. You fly into Cincinnati, and then you get on a Sopwith Camel biplane, and they bring you in. No. Knowing how things work around here, you would probably connect into Atlanta and then pick up a Delta flight into Charleston. Because Atlanta to Charleston is a 50-minute flight.
Okay. So that means I could actually stop in Atlanta and see my family.
You could play it that way.
I don't just do one spot. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I'm coming all the way to the East Coast, I'm going to have to make that shit work. So maybe I'll do Atlanta.
That could work.
I mean, remember, this is going to be my graduation gift, and she's going to be like, "Do you want to go to West Virginia for your graduation gift?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, I think we're gonna have a fabulous time, without a doubt, and Brother Deacon Asa and I were talking about it over the weekend. He said, "You know, when you look at the cost," he said, "you ain't charging much." Because, you know, everything's turnkey once you get here. And one or two people, it's $1,000. And it will, you know, and that means that, and we're just going to go ahead and keep using the GoFundBob.com site. And, you know, the one that I put up for.
Oh, that's how.
Because I'm trying to finish my dental work. Because we have to start sinking lag bolts in my jaws in September. That's going to be so much fun.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. And so, you know, fully half of that will go to the rooms and the cooking and everything. And the other half will go to the, you know, the medical stuff. I think people will enjoy meeting each other. There are some people in the Horn family who have met each other. Some of us at the Molloy Mountain Getaways.
Yeah, I've met Rick and
Joey and Giraffe.
Yeah.
And
Jan. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jan in Vegas.
Right, right, right. And so I'm gonna set the number at 50. Because I proved to myself that I could feed a whole lot more than that back when we did the picnic on June 5th. So, you know, I'm already thinking pulled pork, brisket, the trifold pork loin that gets Todd so worked up. Some hickory smoked chickens, you know, like chicken halves and biscuits and fried catfish, and there's going to be a lot every day.
Well, so now I'm going to have to look at, because I was looking at American, and it was kind of,
That'd probably shoot you into Dallas, and then I think they still have service from Dallas to here. I'm not sure, or maybe Chicago O'Hare. It seems like the airlines flying into Charleston seem like they're constantly changing.
So Delta and American, any other airlines that fly into?
That's pretty United, maybe.
United, okay.
Jeremy just wrote Tracy and said, "Did Tracy just infer that you may have to parachute into West Virginia due to a lack of dirt strips or grass strips, let alone a really working airport?" Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, I didn't. You're the one that said the prop plane.
I didn't mention the parachute. Yeah, no, Yeager in Charleston is a nice airport to fly because it's small, and it's easy to get in and out of.
It's probably like Burbank Airport out here.
And then you're an hour from Fayetteville. By car.
So that's where the Hoot Nanny's happening.
Yeah.
The Shindig.
The Horn Inn.
The Horn Inn. Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Ville, as we lovingly refer to it.
Okay.
Oh, Megan's gotten into the game, though. See what you do? Megan said, "I thought I drove until the roads became impassable, then load my donkey up and walk the mountain trails all the way up to your house." Oh, the things I put up with for being a hillbilly.
So, have you watched that this thing on HBO on Hulu about the Summer of Soul?
I started it, and that thing you sent me, and that just blew my mind. I'd never heard of it. You know, white girl.
Okay, the best line, one of the best lines in the documentary is that it smelled like a mixture of Afro Sheen and fried chicken.
Don't, because I'm not supposed to. No.
No. But it wasn't in derogatory, you know, because in 69, it was all about Afro Sheen. Come on now.
Hey, I watched Soul Train. I know.
Okay. That's the Frederick Douglass commercial?
Yes. The Frederick Douglass Afro Sheen commercial needs to be in the Advertising Hall of Fame.
Yes, it does. It does. So I was watching. So when I was just enthralled because, like you said, you know, nobody has ever heard of it. They recorded it and they try to shop it to, you know, the networks, and they're like, oh, nobody would be interested in that. And it happened, and this was something that was going on yearly. It wasn't just a one-off.
Yeah, the whole thing is a documentary on Hulu about, you know, before there was Woodstock.
Yes.
And God, that lineup.
Come on. I mean, Gladys Knight, David Ruffin, Sly and the Family Stone, the Edwin Hawkins Singers, Mahalia Jackson, the Staples Singers. Stevie fucking Wonder, dude! And it was free! It was free!
I don't have it in front of me. What is the title? I do not. I mean, it's over on Hulu, but yeah.
I think it's the Summer of Soul. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. Because I'm driving, so I'm not going to, look.
Yeah, don't.
But I mean, because there were people talking. It was because, you know, it's even more evidence of the erasure of black history in this country. because, and the fifth dimension, the fifth fucking dimension, okay? And so how do you have a lineup like that?
And nobody knows.
And no one, and nobody knew about it. Because it was the same weekend as the moon landing, right? Wait until you hear when they, because, you know, they interviewed, you know, black folks about, you know, at the festival about the moon landing. Basically, it's like what, you know, Gil Scott Heron said, you know, and Whitey's on the moon, you know, Whitey's
yeah.
on the moon. So it's like, y'all spending all this money on, you know, going to the moon and shit, and people are, you know, in our communities are hungry and, you know, start, you know, and, you know, homeless and blah, blah, you know, not blah, 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 but et cetera, so on. But the belt, Red Fox was there. He wasn't on the program, but he was at the festival. And they asked him, what did he think about the moon landing? And he's like, well, hell, I'm just going to stay here and hang out with the Puerto Ricans and the black folks because that's going to be a lot more fun.
Probably was.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because there was one brother that, you know, because since, you know, nobody remembers about it. It's one of those things. There was a brother that was that they interviewed. He was a youngster when the festival happened. He was probably like, you know, maybe 8 years old or something like that. And you know what? Childhood memories are tricky. And, you know, he basically started crying because at some point he thought, you know, maybe it was urban legend, you know, that this festival happened, that, you know, those stories that people tell. Well, you know, back in 69, they had this festival and, you know, who was there and all this. And people are like, yeah, no, that didn't really happen. He said, so when they started interviewing people who were there, and he's like, he started crying because he's like, at one point, I thought I was losing, that I was crazy because nobody could remember this happened. And then I watched another document, because the other day I was having, I need some black excellence and black magic and black joy. So I watched that, and then I watched the Aretha Franklin documentary about when she did the Amazing Grace concert. Now that's on, I think that's on Hulu too. It might be, I think it's Hulu, and that, you know, because it was gospel music. And, you know, there are times where I just get so tired, which is pretty much every day, every hour and hour, of hearing about one more black person being killed or the high incarceration rates or the black unemployment rates and how many black people died from COVID and, you know, or just trying to get my changed voice. My head. So I need something to cleanse my palate. So the other day I just did Black Joy. I did that, and it was just, because sometimes I just need not to hear talk about white people. And there's nothing, I don't love my, you know, there's my white folks and mostly my whole family members, but typically it's like, yeah.
Well, you know, you missed, maybe you've already seen it on social media, but the program kind of started this evening with one of the most epic Karen videos of all time. It extended to six videos.
What?
Girl lost her shit in a pink, you know, Victoria's Secret pink store in New Jersey. Because she tried to come after a black woman. And she whipped out her phone and started videoing her. And the minute the video rolled, Karen melted down. I mean, on the floor, screaming, don't video me, don't video me. I didn't attack you when, yeah, she did. I mean, she was laying huddled in a ball, screaming underneath the counter. At one point, she chases the sister around the store. And she's like, got the camera still on her, and she's like dodging behind the cosmetics and shit. When we're done, I'll shoot you the link. I mean, oh my God. Oh, and by the way, the official title of the documentary, thanks to Robert in Australia, is Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised.
Right. Thank you.
More about the airport in West Virginia. Jesus! This is Chris in Portland. Subject line, West Virginia Airport. I thought West Virginia Airport was the one nitwit Nero taught us the Founding Fathers defended against the British. Freedom! No, that was over in Eastern PA or something. Battle of the Brandywine Luggage Terminal.
Oh, Jesus. You know, it's just... I don't know about... Robin, it's exhausting.
I know it is. Well, right before you called in... we were discussing Caitlyn Jenner at KKK PAC this weekend.
Oh, CPAC?
Yeah. Klan PAC. Because it pretty much was. I mean, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert was there and delivered this crushing screed against, benefits for people. And then AOC had to slap her the hell down.
Yeah, I wouldn't, of all the people in the world, it's just, you don't want to be pimp slapped by AOC, because that's not going to recover from quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the Clanny Oakley shows up at KKK PAC and... she's got, this little sleeveless vest thing going on and her blue jeans and holding her hands down there like she's getting ready to draw for her twin six shooters. So she said to the assembled maggots, "We're here to tell government we don't want your benefits. We don't want your welfare. Don't come to us with your Fauci ouchie. Leave us the hell alone." Now, girl grew up on welfare, Tracy.
Now, who is this? Which one is it?
This is the Congress Karen from Colorado.
Oh, and what's her name?
Lauren Boebert. For short, we call her Clanny Oakley.
Clanny Oakley. Okay, thank you. I need crypt notes. And stuff like that.
And then AOC came back with all the big words. Tell them loud and proud, girl. GOP will strip your unemployment protections and dismantle any semblance of a public safety net we have left, then make working people pay way more for everything on low wages while Wall Street gets a meal ticket. Good old conservative values, baby.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah.
Did you see?
But then I know this is a little gossipy, but then Clanny Oakley tried to clap back.
No, she didn't try to do. She did not try to clap back.
She tried. Oh please, oh. Sandy. She calls her Sandy. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Oh, please, Sandy, ask Abuela how that government reliance is going. Nobody's taking safety nets away. Growing up in a Democrat household, I stood in line for bread and government cheese. I want more for your grandma, just as I did for me. Don't limit the American dream.
Now, I'm sorry. I never got bread. I only got government cheese. So what line was she standing in that she got bread?
I don't. Maybe she grew up in Minsk or something. What bread lines? We've had.
So I think I sent you a bunch of texts the other day from the Root talking of.
Yeah.
and, you know, one of them was talking about why people won't go back to work, and about it talked about the tipping, where tipping actually came from. Did I send you that one?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, so basically, you know, a tip is supposed to be, you know, something you get somebody.
Yes, you did. Yeah, right.
And how, you know, but then how it started off was that was a, you know, a way not to pay people. And they would just tip them. You know, and of course, it is usually, you know, newly free black people. And so that is how you got the Brotherhood of the, you know, why can't I think of it? The sleeping car porters, the Pullman sleep, and that's how that's the reason why that union got started, was because, you know, these brothers are working all these hours and not getting paid, and then on top of that, you know, and then, you know, if somebody tips them, they tip them. But the thing is, the caveat is that while it helped the brothers, you know, it didn't do anything for the black women who were waitresses. Of course.
Right. Yeah, so, naturally.
You know, so.
Well, it is an obscene thing. I mean, I did read that story, and I thought there's a scene in, it's a Steve Martin comedy. Rick Moranis is in it. My Blue Heaven, where he's trying to tip the flight attendant, and he says, you know, he's playing this mob type from, like, Jersey, and says, oh, no, I believe in tipping.
I over-tip.
Over-tipping is my philosophy. And it's all well and good, you know, because people who don't tip are assholes.
They're assholes.
Anybody who's ever worked a job that relies on tips, you get stiffed, and you hate that person forever. Because you realize, it's no moral stain on you, because you just realize that that's a horrible person. I mean, I remember a woman I knew who worked, and she hated it. Oh, Jesus, Tracy, she hated it. She worked the noon shift on Sundays at Bob Evans,
which means church folk.
Which means church folk. Which means a dime under the coffee cup. But tipping, yeah, and Americans go to Europe, and they don't, they go to tip like they've been taught to tip, and son of a gun, you know, the servers said, no, you don't have to. I'm paid a living wage.
They're paid a living wage.
This could get me in trouble. You only tip for something absolutely extraordinary. Of course,
right.
You know, an American goes to Europe and gets extraordinary service, and wow. But it needs to be gone. People just need to be paid wages that can feed their families.
Well, it's the fact of the matter of how much, you know, in, I forget how many states, but that they still get away with paying tipped employees like $2 and something an hour.
Yeah, it's obscene.
And I'm like, what? You're busting your haunches, you know, slaving, taking people's food and dealing with attitudes and shit. And then you're only, you know, so if you're lucky, if people tip you, great. But if not, you work the 8-hour shift for like, what, $16? How, you know, and so she was talking about how it's still legal because of the Restaurant Association, you know, because it's a powerful lobby.
Yeah, we had that.
When I hear.
We had that story a month or so ago. And it was all about the head of the restaurant lobby going in and thanking, I think it was Joe Manchin, thanking Joe Manchin for fucking people who work in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the argument isn't there. Restaurants can exist and pay a living wage. All of Europe proves that. But
and my thing is, you know, but you like you said, if there's no reason for it other than greed. It's just that simple. It's all about greed, you know.
It's all about directing where the profits go.
Right. Because I got into it with my brother-in-law, you know, about, you know, these comments, like when, what's his name was on the show last week? Why can't I think of his name? TV movie guy. What's his name?
Oh, Dan. Yeah, Dan.
Yes. And how people, you know, they make these comments. Why should somebody get paid $15 an hour to flip burgers? And like Dan said, this fucking hard work. You go stand over a hot grill for hours.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
And I couldn't do it. They had, last week or so, they had a horrible heat wave up in Oregon. And the people that were working at Voodoo Donuts walked out because it was too hot. People were passing out, and they got fired.
Of course.
Because they're like, you know, and I'm like, you want me to slave. And that's why I think about, you know, because I've been a waitress. You know, not at a restaurant, but for catering, which is probably worse because those people are real assholes. And the chances are, the only good thing is, the gratuity is usually included in the pricing for banquets and stuff like that.
Right.
Catered events. But it's like, motherfucker. You know, I have worked in food service. I worked at the dining at the grill at the dining commons. So things that you forget that you've done, you know, it's only been damn near 40 years. I'm surprised I remember that shit. But it's like, you want me to slave and all this and be happy with pittance? Kiss my ass. And see, this is why all of a sudden now, you know, all these people are pushing for people to, you know, have this nerve to say, oh, people are just lazy. No, no. They're like, why should I go to work? And then have to work, you know, especially single parents or parents, period, that have to worry about childcare. So you want me to go to work, make less than minimum wage, and pay for a babysitter and all this just so I can make, you know, whatever. But I'm being lazy. Okay.
Right. And there's something to remember here. Ron in Raleigh points out the tipped minimum wage is $2.13 an hour. And before Ronald Reagan, tips were untaxed. Once again, before, Republicans working for the working man. Yeah. Working over.
And so that's another thing. Thank you for bringing that up. So I used to do taxes. So, like you said, tips are taxable now. You get taxed on the tip whether you get it or not. How about that part? Because it's assumed that you got the tip.
What about situations like in restaurants where tips are split?
See, you know, it's been a while since I did taxes. So
the server will split with the kitchen.
The kitchen and the bus person and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get it's just, you know, it's a fucking racket.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I'm sitting here. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, I'm just sitting here watching this guy walk his little, looks like their little, I don't know, his child, and he's white. And I can definitely tell that somebody in that family is not white. Okay, I'm awful.
No, you're not awful. I mean, go to, you know, God, they should go to Cracker Barrel in Appalachia on any given Sunday, and you will see white grandparents sitting around a table with beautiful mixed ethnicity children. And so...
Oh, the beard is so cute. But the only problem is that dad is really white. He has a mullet.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just...
And I don't... I thought mullets were outlawed in California. Well, at least in Los Angeles.
They're making a comeback. It's got a new... I saw this the other day because I'm trying to figure out some way to do a bang. So far, that has been an abject failure.
Everybody can't do bangs, baby. It's okay.
Do some of us have very high foreheads?
Oh, okay, got you.
But there's, and I forget what they're called, but it's like the mullet is back and women are doing it.
Well, when Jan and I first got together, she had a mullet. And,
Of that style is just so awful. Why would anybody want to be associated with it, for crying out loud?
And I had her, and she blew that shit out. I'm saying, no, I can't be in public with you with your hair looking like that. Are you kidding me? I'm already losing street cred from being with a white woman. So you really want me to have no street cred after this? What?
Yeah, it's all going to go away.
Yeah. It's all going to go away.
I got to send out thanks to George. George just got us down below $300. We're down to $290 now. Thank you so much, George. That is tremendous. We can come up even with, you know, 18 minutes, call it 18 minutes and $290. Nah, it could happen. Probably won't, but it could.
It could happen. It could be a Monday miracle.
A Moran Monday miracle.
Oh. A Moran Monday miracle. Hey, so can we put the, if I come to the Hornet, can we put it on, is there a layaway plan?
We'll work something out.
Speaking of, because we don't buy shit unless you can get it on layaway.
Christmas Club.
Yeah, the Christmas Club. Oh, my God, remember the Christmas Club. Wow. We're really dating ourselves there, Bob. I keep calling you Bob Robin.
That's okay. I'm working on it. There's just so many things to be done. I'm trying to get into a position, you know, working on the new intro for the program and all kinds of stuff. And, after 17 years, Bob is all over the Internet.
Yes.
I keep chasing it. Go away. Shh. Go on now.
Shoot.
I got
you're
this.
Go now. Go. Get. did I do it right?
Yeah, get. You. Get. Get on out of here.
Get on out of here. Get now. God, I sound like my great-grandmother just now. Wow.
That ain't a bad thing.
No, it is not a bad thing. It just makes me think about, you know, if I had had the wherewithal or the encouragement to, like, do different dialects and stuff like that, I could probably be a hell of a voice actress. If I had started honing my, you know, doing it, you know, by just honing in on my relatives, my older relatives' voices, you know, mm-hmm. speech patterns.
Well, I mean, you know? And I'm looking, I've been meaning to, but I made the inquiry last week. I'm looking into some speech therapy.
Wow. Why come? I know I need it because I have a stutter. Or lift.
Because, no, in this case, it's transition related.
Oh.
Because everybody knows, you know, I manipulate my voice all the time. But those are all character voices. I have to find a voice that will, because you spend so much time worrying about passing.
Right.
And, you know, oddly enough, that's something that certain portions of the black community know a little bit about, too.
Just a little bit, yes.
And the biggest dead giveaway for me is my voice.
Right.
It's kind of like it was over at the lab that one morning with Well, yes, ma'am, I am, but they are, but I'm trying to grow my own as fast as I can. That was on purpose. I was trying to get down there in, you know, James Earl Jones and Morgan Freeman territory when I did that.
Robin, yes. Oh, my God. I watched the show on, I think it was Amazon Prime. It was, okay, are you ready for this? Bob the Drag Queen, and the title of it was Suspiciously Large Woman.
Ah. We're everywhere.
And I'm like, because I know we've had the, you know, because I asked you about, you know, Drag Queens.
Yeah,
it was
wild. I was in Walmart a couple of weekends ago, on a weekend, you know, tourist town, people from all over. And it was older. It was apparently older trans woman day in the Fayetteville Walmart.
Oh, really?
Because there were three of us in the self-checkout at the same time.
What?
Then we all just kind of gave each other a look. You? Yeah,
did he do the nod like black folks do when there's, you know, when you're somewhere where there's usually nobody black but you, and then you see that one other black person, you give them that nod like I see you.
Yeah, it was a little glance, a little raised eyebrow action, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, Harley riders passing each other on the highway, and they stick their hand, they stick your hand, it's like, you know, nobody touches, but it's like, you know, hey, you know, and they stick their hand out as if to, you know, high five each other. I don't know. Maybe trans women need some sort of, you know, high sign or lodge handshake or something like that. I don't know. But
I think it would be awesome.
No, definitely knowing glances.
Those knowing glances, yes.
And I got a T-shirt. It turned out, I don't know who sent it. It turned out to be too small. Agnes immediately appropriated it.
Of course.
But it was cute as could be. Oh, I don't know. Maybe if I lose some weight, but you know that drawing that shows, you know, the early primate, you know, walking on its, you know, knuckles,
right,
and then, you know, there's the Neanderthal with the spear, and then there's the fully modern human, and it's all these profiles. Well, this took it one step further, and they were all the figures were done in the pink, white, blue trans pride stripes, and the last figure,
wow.
And the last figure. Is that girl standing profile with her hands up in her hair, and one you know, one foot lifted up, you know, like she's taking a step.
Right.
Oh, it was adorable. But it looked painted on, and it was a little short.
Okay.
But it's cute, and whoever you are that sent it, thank you. Thank you so much.
I was looking at some stuff. It's so funny. Stuff that I wouldn't wear, now I'm looking at it and wonder. I'm like, I wonder if Robin would wear that.
I'm trying to be tasteful, and I'm trying to keep my inner 14-year-old girl locked in her Barbie dream house in the basement. She does get loose every once in a while, though.
Well, you know, it would be, because like I said, not a girly girl, but oh my goodness, I did buy, I think it should be in my house in a day or so. Because, you know, next Wednesday is my 50th birthday. Oh my God. And
you do that so
it
well.
It totally just snuck up on me. So I'm like doing a last minute trying to get people together and maybe go to brunch the Sunday after my birthday or what have you. And I was just like, so I bought a dress that, you know, kind of with a African print. I'm going to do my hair up in a bun. And I actually got heels, matching heels and jewelry. And I actually might even put on makeup.
Makeup, girl?
Yeah, you got real quiet, like with you.
You just told me so many times that you just don't screw with it.
I don't, but I look really hot when I do wear it.
Oh, I know. Got to.
You know, but, you know, every so often, I like when my sister's in town, and she's just like itching to get to my face because it's like a blank palette, you know. So she's like a blank slate. She's like, I just got to. And I'm like, okay, fine, do something. Because like I said, I don't, and that's why my skin looks the way it does. Because I don't wear makeup, you know, so that part. So, I guess I should probably let you go because, you know.
We're right. Yeah, we're kind of right up at the end of the program.
And I stalled long enough.
Check your text messages. Steve in New York is ready to send you your Zabars. It's taken a while, but I need you to send. I need you to send me the mailing address again. Because I went scrolling up for it in my text, and it's just like a million years ago or something. Yeah.
Oh, it's a million years ago, baby. Don't even try. Oh, now I just saw the text message.
And I just shot you another one because I don't put a lot of my just plain, unadorned photos up because why give the haters any more ammunition?
Give them any more ammunition.
But you should see that in a second here. That's
no, I'm looking at it right now while I'm texting you, and no, I am not driving. I pulled over.
Okay, good.
I'm
fairly pleased with the progress I'm making. I mean,
you look great. I am just so over the moon happy for you. So, but I am coming. You know, I'm going to put it out in the universe that I will be at the first annual Hornin. Is there any place in so we're going to be in Fayetteville. So it's an hour from the airport. Okay, good to know. Are there like shopping? Is there I'm not trying to be funny. Are there a mall in Fayetteville?
No mall here, but there's a mall in Beckley, and that's about a half hour away.
Okay.
And there's a mall in Charleston.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be funny. It's not.
No. We got Kroger's and Walmart, but we do have a bunch of really hip, cool little stores in town. You know, we have local businesses, and we try to shop local.
Okay, I have a really good website.
And we've got an old school. I mean, old school, Ben Franklin dime store. I mean,
no.
The hard, creaky, old wood floors. They got all kind of candies and stuff. I mean, they still got an icy machine at the counter, okay? And Amish canned goods, jams, jellies, pickles, you know, bulk spices. They've still got the hot roasted nuts thing back at the checkout in the back. You know, where you can get the really warm, oily cashews in a paper bag. And they just make you so happy. Crafting goods and stuff. It's just, it's awesome.
I am going to send you a link to this store. It's called Ashley Stewart. And they make stuff for the larger size girl.
Yes.
And there's some very cute stuff on here.
Oh, cool.
And I'm giving it to you now.
Awesome.
They call it, that's where I bought my dress from. So anyway.
Awesome.
All right, my darling.
Have a lovely evening. It's kind of neat to hear from you back on the road.
I know. That's how we met.
Yeah, it may not be as awesome as you'd like it to be, but... It just feels like the world sort of clicked into its proper order again. The lady cab driver is back on the road.
Is back on the road, and you know what? It's I, you know,
I'm back really working on taking my meds, and I sent hopefully my new therapist my paperwork, so I'm just waiting to hear back to see when we can schedule an appointment. And she just seems amazing. And again, it'll be the first time that I've ever had a black female therapist.
You know, I think that'll make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And she's very excited about, you know, my career path and my goals. And she wants to read my paper that I wrote about, you know, the need for more black therapists and stuff like that. So, yeah. And so, yeah, things are coming. You know, I'm just learning, like I said, I just got to get that balance of work now, you know, now my life, work, life, school balance. And I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. It's going to take, you know, some fine tuning, but I'm going to be okay.
I think you are.
Because I got a whole lot of folks behind me, that people that I've never, ever, 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 ever met. But I know they got my back. Oh, speaking of...
You'd be surprised how many people root for you and have been so proud of all of your accomplishments.
So, but I started using this stuff, Bernadette Style. Did I tell you yet? I've been meaning to tell you.
No.
Oh, my God. I put some, you know, because I didn't have neck and shoulder pain. That stuff was like, you know...
Isn't it just... Bernadette is freaking awesome.
I mean, I get this, when I get stressed, I get this kind of herpy shingle thing, and it was burning and itching, and I put some of that on it, it was gone. The itching and the pain was gone within, you know, and I keep it, like she told me, for anybody who's using it, make sure you keep it in the refrigerator.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, but when you put it on, when it's been in the fridge, holy cow, it feels so, it's so cool.
Oh, because it's cool,
when you
yeah.
put it on.
And it smells so nice.
It smells so nice. It is, you know, so if you're listening, well, I've already told her that she's just,
She's everything. I said, she's so everything.
Yeah, she is. I sent some to my mom, so I'm waiting to hear back from her and all that good stuff. So anyway, okay, for real, now I'm going to go because the wife must sense that I'm around the corner. So I love you, and I will talk to you guys later.
I love you. You have a wonderful evening. See you, Tracy.
You too, baby.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Back on the road, Tracy, the lady cab driver. And, What a lovely conversation this has been this evening, and my God, didn't we just have plenty of morons? Holy smoke! And one last thing. Steve in New York reminded me of this. You got to praise people when they do bold and brave things. And so, Steve said, I wonder if they're going to D.C. to give Chuck Schumer a spine. The Democrats in the House of Representatives in Texas are bugging out. This takes some courage because under Texas law, the Texas Rangers can be sent to drag them back as long as it's in their jurisdiction. So getting out of Texas is a big deal. Texas House Democrats are gone. They bugged out today, and they're not coming back for the next 27 days of the special legislative session that Greg Abbott called almost solely for the purpose of trying to keep Texans from voting. Most of them are on two chartered jets flying to D.C. And they've all planned it in secret. And they want to meet with Senate Democrats while they're in Washington and encourage and you know, show them what courage looks like. And get them to stand up for people's voting rights in this country. Steve said he wondered if they were going to give Schumer a spine. I'm more wondering if they're going to give Joe Manchin hell. And maybe play some of that "Don't Mess with Texas" on him. Because those Democrats are some of the bravest Democrats in the country right now. John Bridivo must be just bursting with pride. I would be if I were he. But I'm not a he. Never mind. Anyway, again, thanks to everybody who jumped in this evening. This is so critically critically important. We will... yeah, you're right. Stephen New York says that Texas Democrats deserve a timpani of cowbells. That's the best I can do, though. Tomorrow we will be at 590. And like I said, this is just one of, every now and then these things just crop up. When there's more bill and shit comes up that has to be dealt with, and this is one of them. Most of the time I can play things out, but this can't. This has to happen. And maybe if the overnight crew jumps in and knocks out that other 290, we will be fully funded for, through the 12th day of July. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program, along with the a la carte contributors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The only reason this program exists, and it's, well, how we survive. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. You know, I always say that at the end of the program, and I wonder if people have already turned the program off by then. Because that's important. The time we share together is time we won't get back. But it feels like time spent in joyous, good-spirited, good-natured, highly intelligent company. And for that, I thank you as well. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you in the chat room. To Sparky, thank you so much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine, if you haven't already. Please try to make sure that everybody in your household is vaccinated. Friends, neighbors, anybody you come in contact with. You know, this really is a community effort. Did you get your vaccine? No harm in asking that. Or not even ask, just say, hey, I sure hope you've gotten your vaccine so that we can all be safe and live through this thing and not be eaten alive by the Delta variant. Otherwise, maintain your first line of defenses. You know them. You know the drill. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer regularly and religiously and carry it in purse or pocket wherever you go. Keep some gloves handy in case you get into a situation where you need them. Wear your mask as advisable, especially if around people who are among the unvaccinated. And oh, for pity's sakes, if somebody comes toward you hooting about, "We don't want your Fauci ouchie. We don't want your government benefits." Please, avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later.